Okay, we're back. Is the mic on? Yeah. All right. We're singing first In the Garden, and then that's number 12 in the room, and then In the Sweet By and By, that's number 468 in the room. I know I should have just numbered them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but then it would have thrown us off over here. So. Oh, good, we got Jillian this way. It seems to be a little louder.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God is spoken, and he walks with me.
In the sweet, sweet by and by.
beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day.
The dogs may start barking in a little bit. There's someone out there getting hay out of the barn, so we don't own the barn or any of this stuff here, so we can't stop them within our gates. All right, let's kneel. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You. We worship You, we trust You, and we love You. We want to do what pleases You, Father. Thank You for being here when we are gathered together, both on and offline. Thank You for blessing us with a Sabbath day that we can come together and worship You each and every week. Thank You for cutting our hearts with new truths and changing the showbread as You have done each and every Sabbath since Creation Week. And will do so on each and every Sabbath throughout eternity. Thank You for blessing us with this truth before it's too late and giving us many opportunities to bring as many to the saving knowledge of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak so that Your words come forth and only You are glorified. And thank You again, Father God, for blessing us with the technology necessary to be able to share with others around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. All right. Today's message might be a little longer than a half an hour. I don't know. I'm going to find out. It won't be that much longer. But it has to do why we need faith, the faith of Jesus, that Scripture speaks of, to be able to understand prophecy. And that's what we're going to be studying over the coming months. In Revelation 14:12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." During the next few weeks, we're going to discover the tools essential to studying Bible prophecy. Today, we're going to learn, of course, about the faith of Jesus. And what is the faith of Jesus? How important is it, and how can we get it? As students of the Bible, let's allow the Bible to answer those questions, as we always should do. We should do as the Bereans did. Not just when we hear somebody to verify it, but when we study, we should use the Scriptures to verify regardless. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In Mark 11, 22, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God." Faith is an absolute trust which enables us to have a living communion with God. Faith always says yes to our Heavenly Father to do what He wills. We never say no. This is important, especially when we have doubts, obstacles, or any kind of other, like a resistance to our walk or our faith, as is always the case. The best example of this faith is the one Jesus Himself demonstrated. In Matthew 26, verse 39, it says, "And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then in John 6:38, it says, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The faith of Jesus enabled him to trust his Father entirely. Oh, I'm too low. Okay. I thought I was up there kind of high. Let me just crank the mic up. Is it better now? Is it a little bit better now? Okay, good. All right. I hope it doesn't overmodulate, because I was overmodulating. That's why I brought the mic down a little bit the last couple of weeks, is because when I'm recording this and I'm putting these sermons on the website, like tonight, I just upload them. I don't edit them at all. I just upload them, and what you hear here is what you're going to hear later. Here's what you get, yep. But the first time I did it with this new audio chat software, man, I was overmodulated like crazy. You'll hear it if you go to the first sermon. It's like, it's gating. It's going too high in spots. So it's cutting off. But anyway, like I was saying, the faith Jesus had enabled him to trust his Father entirely. His faith was so in tune with the Father that he filled his will in all things. This is the faith we need, especially now in these last days. We need to have a faith that we trust him no matter what happens. You know, like, it's what helps me to get to that point where I can have that faith, where I know that no matter what happens, I can trust him, is knowing that he cannot be kept off. He cannot be, like, the Lord can't be caught off guard. Like, if something happens in your life, I don't care how dramatic it is, I don't care how life-changing it is, or how sudden it is, do you honestly believe that the Almighty Creator of all that is seen and unseen didn't know it was going to happen and allowed it anyway? Because we know what Scripture says in 1 Corinthians about no temptation common to man. We know that the Lord is not going to allow us to have situations in our life that would cause us to fall away from him. He will only allow certain temptations or situations that are, you know, are okay, that he knows we will not only glorify him in, we will be, you know, the better for it. If anybody... Okay, this is the faith we need, especially now in these last days. We need to understand in our hearts that we must do the will of the Father only. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So many people say they believe in God, but when you open up a Bible and there's certain promises in the Bible, oh, that's not for me. That's for the other guy. Oh, yeah, if I tithe, he's not going to give me back if I tithe, even though it's the one blessing in the Scriptures where the Lord even says, try me and test me and see if I'm not kidding here. Tithing, the law of tithing, that particular promise is no different than the law of gravity. You take something, you drop it, it's going to hit the ground. You take tithing, you give it, it's going to be blessed. The Word of God teaches us that faith is an essential element. It is absolutely indispensable in the life of the Christian. If we don't have faith in his word, then we are looked upon as non-believers to him. Like I said, if you look at the promise and you say it's not for you, you're saying that either you're calling God a liar, or you just only believe that he exists, or he's not there for you on that particular thing. What makes you different from the next guy? Why would you think that that person gets that blessing but you don't, when you are still created by the same God, and that God has already stated in his word he's not a respecter of persons? Think about that. Do you look to the promises of God and say, that's not for me? Now, we need faith for many reasons. The most important reason, of course, is the role of faith that has a plan in our salvation. Luke 5:20 says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then 1 Peter 1:9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Evidence of things not seen. You know he exists. You don't have to see him to know it. I mean, even a scientist can go out in his own backyard and look at a tree and know there's a creator. If he has enough wisdom, if he's a believer, because the Lord's not going to reveal himself to the wicked. They don't believe. They don't trust. I mean, sure, they say they believe, but the devils believe and tremble. To save us, God needs our collaboration or our cooperation, our agreement, our faith. He asks us to have faith in him, to trust him entirely, no matter what. If the day comes, would you trust the Lord if he would have you walk on water? I mean, try to think about some of the situations you might be going through during the time of Jacob's trouble, if you are blessed in such a way as to be alive during that time, because then you'll never die. And if you are a Christian, that is. But let's just say there's a situation where the Lord would have you escape. Would you be able to walk on water? Would you be able to walk through a crowd like Christ himself did without anyone touching you, or all of a sudden disappear or whatever? Or stand in a boat and immediately as soon as you get in the boat, it's on the other shore? Or would you be able to have faith enough to walk on air? Because the latter rain falls more abundantly, and we will do miracles that they themselves could not do. It's obvious that the devil's trying to attack by sending these phone calls, folks, so hold on a second here. And now it's her again. Next week I'm just going to have all phones turned off. We'll just, yeah, we should just shut them all off, you know, some way. Just pull the plugs out of them all. And then the cell phones will start ringing. Okay, but anyway, when that day comes and we're during the great, you know, not the great tribulation, I mean, it's like a mirror of it, if you will, the time of Jacob's trouble, would you be able to raise the dead? Well, okay, I take that back. During the time of Jacob's trouble, you're not going to be raising the dead. Because the child of God won't be dying. They can't die. It's before the time of Jacob's trouble. Will you be able to raise the dead so as to glorify the Lord and bring more to Christ? Heal the sick or preach the gospel. Most people can't grasp this faith salvation merely because they didn't pay for it. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." Faith is the act by which we acknowledge our complete trust in God for our salvation. By faith, we believe that God's plan of salvation is sufficient enough to give us eternal life. In this world of nothing is free, some wrestle with that theology big time, especially the rich, when everything they have, they paid for. They can't believe at all, in any way, shape, or form, that something that important is free. Heaven. Oh, come on. Heaven? You got a mansion? You live for all eternity? You never get sick? You never get old? You never die? That's free. Yeah, sure. And I got some swampland in Florida, they'll think, you know? People just can't grasp that. They just can't understand that God doesn't lie. Because they're actually calling him a liar there. Oh, I can't believe it's free. Well, then you just call God a liar. So what can we do to get this faith, this trust in God? What can we do to get this? Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through faith, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." First, let's specify that God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. Nobody starts out with nothing. Nobody has more than another. One man grasps with two hands and gathers as much as he that grabs with two arms on day one in our walk. Then the question is no longer, what must we do to get faith, but rather what must we do so that the measure of faith God has already given us may grow. We all have the same amount when we find Christ. We all start out as infants, both physically and spiritually. So how shall we cultivate the exact same measure of faith given to us? Well, Luke 17:5 says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." Ever pray that prayer? I know I have. Help me in my unbelief, Father. Forgive me for my lack of faith and lack of trust. Help my faith grow. I mean, I've prayed that prayer a lot. Still do to this day. And I will do forever, I would think. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So it is through careful study of the Bible in a spirit of humility and sincerity that each one of us will learn to know God better and to trust Him better, and then to trust Him more and more. Our faith in God, His plan of salvation, will thus grow by day, day by day, you know. And this is why I stress to our children, read the Bible daily. And that's not just our family worship that we do separately, you know. Read your Bibles every day. It works. It truly does work, whether you believe it or not. You will eventually believe it works. You stay in the Bible. John 3, verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Acts 16, verses 30 and 31 says, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." God gives us salvation on only one condition, that we accept this salvation with all our hearts. We can't say, "Okay, Lord, I'll accept the salvation, but I still want to be able to do this, this, and this in my life." When it's wrong and you know it's wrong, well, then you didn't accept Him. There's no gray areas in Christianity. You either are a Christian or you're not. No work, however good and fine it may be, can contribute to the saving of our souls. If we could have saved our souls, then Jesus never would have bothered coming here to die on a cross. The wages of sin never would have been death. The wages of sin would have been, well, just, you know, a tummy ache maybe. Or perhaps leprosy for a year or two. You know? But the wages of sin is permanent death. He's not just talking death and you get up again later and, you know, it's permanent. The wages, you know, like the second death, that's permanent. Salvation is God's free gift to us. Now listen carefully to these two verses. Not by works, Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." More or less saying the same thing. We don't perform the good works to get saved, like so many people think, like when they say, "Oh, you keep the Ten Commandments, what, are you thinking you're going to get saved doing that?" Because that's, I've heard that a lot. But no, I don't keep the Ten Commandments to get saved. I keep the Ten Commandments because I am saved. But I don't more or less like the word saved. I mean, it's I escaped or eternal or a follower of Christ. But I don't keep the Ten Commandments to escape hell. You know, I keep them because I am a follower of Christ. Jesus said, "By their fruits you shall know them." And there's a lot of people saying that they're Christians, and they don't keep the Ten Commandments. Their fruits are obvious. Well, all we got to be is fruit inspectors. James chapter 2, verses 25 to 26 says, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead," in other words, without the breath of life, you're dead. That's what the spirit here means. The body without the spirit is dead. Spirit is the breath of life. Job spoke of it in, you know, where he talks about his spirit entering his nostrils. It says, "So, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." In Galatians 5, 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So it's no act you can do. Circumcision was that of the old covenant situation anyway. So it's nothing you can do or don't do. Oh, well, it's has a lot to do, you know, don't sin, of course, but it's no act that we can do. I love the Lord for what he has forgiven of me of, so much so that I've dedicated my life to help escape others. I mean, to help others escape death as well. Do we not put the scarlet thread in the window for all those that we evangelize, like Rahab did? Do we not try to protect them from danger and hide them under the stalks of flax, like she did? So the role of the works is not to save us, but rather to show the presence of that living faith that's already in us, of faith working through love. We do what we do because we love those we do it for, and we love the Father because he first loved us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14 says that the blessing... Now here's the key, if you want to understand prophecy. This verse and the next verse. Galatians 3:14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then John 16:13 lets the cat out of the bag. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Did you catch that? What is the role of faith in the study of prophecy? How do we understand prophecy? First, faith gives us access to the Holy Spirit, whom we absolutely need to understand prophecy. The Word says we understand it because he will tell us things to come. And Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. If Noah didn't have faith, he never would have been warned. He never would have heard the warning. It's just like that one analogy we used years ago. It still applies today. Because some people say, oh, how can God let this happen? Or how can God let that happen? I mean, that kid was, what, 25 years old. How can that person die in that accident or whatever? Think of it this way. You got two young men or two young women, it doesn't matter, or a guy and a girl walking down the street, right? And perfectly healthy humans, one of them's a Christian, one of them is not a Christian. And about a quarter mile down the road, there's a semi coming, and he kind of loses control. Oh, and by the way, both of these Christians are deaf, or both of these people, whether they're Christian or not, are deaf. Okay? They cannot hear anything. So, there's a semi behind them, losing control. And the brakes go out or something like that, and it starts to jackknife, and it's heading towards these two people. One of them has an uneasy sense of danger and kind of like gets off the road, and the other one just keeps walking. But the Lord yelled to both of them. Whether they're deaf or not, it doesn't matter with the Lord, because he can speak to the deaf. He can speak to the blind. It doesn't matter. He can speak to the dead, but it doesn't matter. The one kid gets killed, the other one doesn't. It reminds me of the one day when we were cutting down the tree in Cisno. Remember that? We didn't know the first thing about cutting trees now. We didn't do the divot on one side and chop away on the other side. We started chopping and chopping and chopping, and it was a big dead tree. And remember how we went around and we chopped and chopped and chopped, and I kept going around the edge and around the circle, and nothing's happening, and the thing just came down. It didn't fall over, it went down about an inch from the hole that I made with the, so I figured, okay, let's cut out a divot. And I told everybody, it was me and Nicholas were pushing on it, and I says, Nicholas, if it's whatever direction starts falling, and when it got down to the point where the last push was there, I got out there and I started pushing, and I've already said, everybody got away from the tree. I says, I am in no way going to run in that field. If this tree starts falling towards me, I'll run in a different direction, because the field, you know, the field, they had just tilled it. It had big clumps of dirt all over. You couldn't run. You'd probably fall, and the tree would land on you and squish you like a bug, right? Well, we're pushing and pushing and pushing, and all of a sudden that tree starts to go. You remember. And I start running. But I run in the wrong direction. It's falling towards me. And I don't know it. I'm not looking back. I'm just booking. I'm taking off, you know. I'm running. And all of a sudden I get this uneasy feeling of danger, and I kind of feel like a shove saying, go to the right. And I'm running in that field with the big clumps. And that got me out of the danger. But the top of the tree still hit me on the top of the head. It was just little branches. Kind of rung my bell. But it wasn't enough to knock me out. The top, you know, the top branches came and just smacked me on the top of the head and broke when they hit my head. I had a hat on, so I didn't get any cut or nothing. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, it was just, I couldn't doubt what I was feeling. Turn to the right. Even though I said earlier, don't go to the right. And I, you know, and the Lord kept me safe. But anyway, getting back, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he commanded the world, or by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Luke 17:26 says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. So we're going to be going through the same stuff Noah did. He heard the warning. He understood. It was a prophecy to him. Wasn't going to happen for 120 years. And it's been a lot longer than 120 years since the end time started for us. It's been a little over 150 years, actually, since 1844. So we can kind of like relate with Noah, and, you know, because all the scoffers, I mean, they're out there. Even, you know, the only difference, of course, is Noah was blessed with to such an extent that his whole family was right there with him in the ark. You know, some of us don't have that that blessing as of yet, but, you know, prayer is still a very powerful thing. Faith always, it also allows us to take seriously God's warnings. We then make the necessary decisions without delay. We warn those we love, and we love because of our faith. Of course, faith is also a target of Satan. It's the ultimate threat to his kingdom. And 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times shall come, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Luke 18:8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The last days will be marked with a scarcity of living faith, the faith of Jesus. And why do you suppose that is? Why is it going to be like in the days of Noah? Because, you know, we saw what happened in the days of Noah just by reading the Bible. I mean, look around. Does anybody read their Bibles anymore? Does anybody read their Bibles anymore? Yeah. No, I'm not asking. I know, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I know we do. But the Bible's plain. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't stay in the... I mean, look at it says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I shall send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know? That's why the devil attacks the Scriptures. That's why the devil says, don't read your Bible. That's why so many people have gotten lackadaisical. I know many Sabbath keepers, and I have loved ones that I'm concerned with that know the truth about the Sabbath, but break it anyway. Oh, no one can convince them that Sunday's the Sabbath, but yet they won't keep the seventh day either because they won't read their Bibles. They don't see the warning. They don't have that absolute authority in life yet. So, and some of us online have loved ones that are like this as well, and so we all pray for each other, and we just keep praying. That's all we can do. Some people want to rebel. And for those that do read their Bibles but still allow Satan somewhat of a foothold in their lives, he gives them NIVs or NASBs or RSVs or Dewey Rames or whatever, these bogus Bibles. So that when they do read, they're not going to be getting the information they need. You know? Unless they are truly, honestly desiring to seek the truth, the Lord can even give them the information in an NIV. I saw it happen with me with a Dewey Rames. I was a Catholic. I found the truth in a Dewey Rames. And, of course, I put the book down. Ryrie study Bible? You had a Ryrie, yeah. A Ryrie study Bible. So our faith prevents us from departing from the truth. And if you stay out of the Scriptures, you will eventually get lackadaisical or complacent, and the prophecies will just swing on by. I know a lot of General Conference Seventh-day Adventist types that read their Bibles on Sabbath. Only. In church. Whatever the preacher leads them to. And then they don't see the danger they're in. And I can understand why they don't see it, because They have not enough oil. The source of oil is right there in their hands, and they won't open it and read it. This also explains why there's going to be a total confusion that will prevail here on earth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Keep your feet shod. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." You know, Satan's repeated attacks, especially in the last days, forced us to put on the whole spiritual armor of God, and faith is one of its main components. And without daily reading of the Word, the faith, it's just going to fail. And rest assured, Satan's going to attack your faith. And if your faith is too strong, he's going to figure out a way to get you out of the Bible. Oh, it's just too, you know, a half an hour a day. Come on, you're reading the Bible, and then you're reading Sister White. I mean, come on. You're overdoing it, you know. I mean, there's much else better. I mean, think about it. Sometimes, he tempts you with, like, there's something else you could be doing. You know, answer your emails or work on the websites or whatever, in my personal case. But then your day just seems to, doesn't work out. I can't remember the last time I haven't read the Bible in the morning or Sister White. But praise God for that, because it does bless. First Peter 1, verses 7 and 9 says, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Faith will well and truly play a determining role in the time of trouble that will take place shortly before the return of Jesus. Faith is a must. I cannot stress that point any further. I mean, if I could find words to enhance that truth, I'd most assuredly use them. Because, you know, you're not going to be able to understand the prophecies without faith, and you're not going to have faith without reading the Bible. It's just a chain of events. You want to understand the prophecies? Read your Bible. Well, I don't get the prophecies. Well, just keep reading your Bible. You will eventually get it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you have faith, the Holy Spirit can give you an understanding of things to come. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38-39 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, which is sin, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Revelation 13, 10 says, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience of and the faith of the saints." The link between faith and patience or perseverance is well established in the Scriptures. I mean, genuine faith is indeed patient and persevering. It stands the test of time. You know, it helps us get through those dark periods. And without Jesus, it's going to be 100% impossible. That's why some people go to Prozac or alcohol or whatever, you know. And seeing how Jesus is the Word made flesh, and you need more of him, stay in the Word. Everything just keeps pointing right back to him. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and set it down at the right hand of the throne of God." And set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The finest example of persevering faith is, once again, the faith of Jesus. The same Jesus who endured the cross, despising the shame for us. This is why he is designated the author and the finisher of our faith. This living faith we all need, especially since we're living in the last days and the history of mankind on earth, at the end of the history of mankind, just before the return of Christ, I mean, prior to his return. So anyway, in closing, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." I like that. They glory in their patience and their faith and their persecutions and their tribulations. "We ourselves glory in you," he says. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You know, in spite of the very difficult times that we're looking towards on the horizon, the faith of Jesus will give us that victory. Jesus said in Revelation 2:13, "That I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, or planet Earth. You know, he was thrown to this planet. We're dwelling where Satan sits, is what Jesus is saying. And he says, "And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, even during the martyrdoms," he's saying. Because that's about to start up. Well, actually, it's already started up. My next newsletter I'm going to touch on, I'm going to try and photograph or scan some pictures that a friend of the ministry sent me from these Paris magazines of these Christians that were killed, and they photographed it. They had a whole big old, you know, nice little spread about it. The persecutions are here. They've already started in other countries. That's why the media won't... This stuff that I got in this magazine about Christians being killed in the streets is not mentioned in the United States of America media. They don't talk about it. I mean, you don't hear George W. Bush saying Muslims are killing Christians, cutting their heads off, or mobs of Muslims are killing Christians because they are Christians, and that's the only reason they're killing them is because they're Christians. That is a, you know, this is supposed to be a Christian nation. And we're supposed to, you know, fight those that would attack the Christian faith. But instead, our government sees fit to not tell us what the Muslims are doing, and at the same time says that the Muslim religion is a peaceful religion. But when you get information from other sources, with photos, mind you, that proves that it's not just hearsay, then you realize that the short time of trouble appears to have already started. Because these Christians in these other countries, they're like living in a completely different world. I hear stories of people from India about how you can't mention their faith in the streets. In China, if you're a Christian, you're behind bars or underground. They arrested 150 preachers about 2 years ago to try and shut the Christian religion up. In Russia, it's the same way. Sure, they act like they're letting Christianity in, but unless you're Catholic, you're not allowed to speak of Jesus, especially if you speak of Antichrist. That's why the Jesuits infiltrate the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they were the ones exposing Antichrist. So they infiltrated it and stopped that message. You go to any General Conference of Seventh-day Adventist Church, their weekly mass, if you will, because it's no different from the Catholic mass now, they don't preach about Antichrist. And Jesus finishes off saying, "By in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth." He says, "You did not deny my faith here." Here's encouraging words from Jesus, you know, that he wants to address to each and every one of us right before he returns. Keeping the faith of Jesus remains our guarantee of security for the present and our guarantee of the victory for the future. And to top it off, a fringe benefit of our faith is that we can now understand prophecy. And that's why I wanted to share this, because we have to have faith to be able to understand what we're going to be going through, as well as how to understand the prophecies to let us know in advance. So what are we going to sing? No, you can give me one. I don't have one. Alrighty, we're going to sing with 292?
Grace.
Which one? Amazing Grace?
Yeah,
292. You don't know what time it started?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 20 years, no.
No, I mean, it started.
Well, there, no.
I don't know how long.
2.
I started at 2?
Oh, 1.
Way before.
1:50 maybe.
Oh, I turned the 6 shows about half an hour.
So, 2:30 now?
About 40 minutes. It'll be 2:30 soon, yeah.
Oh,
see, that's your time right there.
Oh, okay.
That's your time. Okay.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
Okay. Was it your meal or your ass? What was it going with?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the scriptures. Thank you for blessing our faith. Father, your word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we pray wholeheartedly that you remind us each and every day to read your scriptures and to remember that when we read them, we grow and we have our faith strengthened. We want, Father, to please you, and we want to be ready for your arrival, and that's really the only way that we can please you. Is when we are ready, we glorify you. So, Father, we pray that you bless our faith, you bless our reading, and we know that you hold true to your promise, so we thank you for it in advance. Thank you for blessing us with the remainder of this Sabbath day, especially those loved ones that couldn't make it, whether they were with family or whatever. So we thank you, Father God, once again for blessing us in this way where we can share our faith with others. And give us opportunities this week to do that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I just realized that my microphone was off, but I was close enough to the other mic where they could have heard me. So, well, okay. Turn off the recorder here.